Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What's up, buds?
By Murphy. Murphy starts the run. He hits Hunter. He's in alone. A shot and a goal. Juno finds Fellows. Here's Fellows. He begins. Pots it down. Blue puts it down. Joey Juno scores the goal. And the Capitals are headed to the Stanley Cup Final.
All right, welcome back to Japers Rink Radio. I'm your host, Adam Stringham, and today I'm happy to be joined by co-host Greg Young. How are you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing well. I figured it has been like forever since we did one just the two of us, so I'm kind of glad that it's just the two co-hosts doing it solo today.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's nice just to have some downtime and, you know, just have some time to reflect. I mean, the Capitals are resting players, and I guess we're resting our superstar guests.
So, yeah. don't say that too much, because we don't want Kevin and JP to get bigger heads than they already have. So I'm just kidding. I love you guys, and they're great.
Well, on a more somber note, I just wanted to start the podcast with our condolences to the Oshie family. Obviously, a big loss today with TJ Oshie's father passing away, which is really unfortunate. I mean, it was certainly one of the most emotional things when watching the Capitals win the Stanley Cup. Was how much it meant to the Oshies. So condolences on their loss, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's I know that's one of the clips that has gotten circulated again today. Of course, the Oshie saying that this is something he thinks his dad's going to remember for the rest of his life. And, you know, I think that Alzheimer's is something that a lot of people, myself included, know the kind of horrible consequences of it. And it's you feel for them, and it's good on the Capitals for giving Oshie the time and space that he needs. And, you know, you want to say, oh, hopefully he'll come back soon. But frankly, take whatever. There's more important things than hockey. I just hope they're doing well.
Yeah, for sure. Complete change of topic, Greg. Today is May the 4th. I don't know if you're a big Star Wars fan, but
I've watched all the Star Wars movies, so including the Skywalker one that was really bad. So,
all right, we're not going to talk about Star Wars. Not that I agree with your take on that movie, but
the last one you liked. You liked Episode 9?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good. No. I thought that was awful.
No, the only one of the sequel trilogy that I really enjoyed was the one that was a complete remake of A New Hope, the first Star Wars movie. So, but I enjoyed The Force Awakens a good bit. I don't know.
Yeah, all the stuff that wasn't on the gambling planet I liked. All the, yeah. Like, that. I thought those scenes were pretty bad, but the rest of it I thought was pretty good.
You're thinking of The Last Jedi.
Am I? Oh, yeah, I totally am thinking about that, aren't I? Yeah, I liked The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi was fine. I just, like I said, all the stuff on the casino island was bad, and I thought everything else in that movie worked.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of, they did a lot to kind of break existing precedent and, you know, try to mix it up in The Force Awakens, and that's kind of what Tom Wilson did when he was playing.
Wow, nicely done. I'm giving you an A+ for that one.
Well, Tom Wilson against the Rangers was kind of crossed the line again. I want to get your take on it before I kind of stand on my soapbox and give what I think. But Wilson today has been issued a fine, the maximum that he could have gotten for roughing of, I'm not going to pronounce his name, the analytics guy that people, everyone loves on the Rangers. That's the one, Buchnevich. I don't know. I guess I just want to get your thoughts on it before I go any further.
There you go. So, all right, let's break this down first off, and let's separate out the Artemi Panarin part, because I know that got a lot of attention. I think for me, that part's pretty clear, that Panarin was the one that instigated that. He's the one that grabbed him from behind, and Wilson threw him down, but that's something you see a million times. Like, I didn't think that was suspension-worthy, nor really fine-worthy, frankly, and I think the NHL ended up agreeing with us on that. So let's separate that out. And focusing on the Buchnevich hit, I think that I didn't like the hit either, and I think that there's a few kind of angles to it that are worth considering. And I'm not going to talk yet about the discourse, although I'll kind of branch into that just a tiny bit at the end here. I think with the hit, though, he's on the ground, Buchnevich, in a prone position, and Wilson hit him in the back of the head. And that's dumb, and it's wrong, and it's dangerous. And I think it's dumb and wrong and dangerous for the reasons we say all these hits are dumb, wrong, and dangerous. It is potentially concussion-worthy. I think Buchnevich ended up being okay, but it's still a huge risk. And I know that there was talk about, oh, he kicked him before and yada yada, or that Buchnevich had kind of kicked Vanacek. I think the video on that, for me, frankly, I've watched it a few times. I think it's pretty inconclusive that that's what was happening. And even if he was kicking him, Wilson's punch in the back of the head was basically simultaneous with the kick. So I don't really buy that as an excuse, frankly. I think that maybe it's a little bit of context if you want to say it, but I think the bigger context here is that it's net front scrum, and these things do happen, but at the same time, like, I think the big question, and I think this is kind of where the discourse comes in, is should this happen or not? Like, are these the kind of things that we want to see, like people getting punched in the back of the head and stuff like that? And I think for Caps fans, I know it can be frustrating that, you know, because we see it and we see Wilson get these kind of things and we say, okay, he's being singled out and this happens a million times each night. But I mean, he's being singled out, it's fair to say, I think, for legitimate reasons at times. Like, he definitely goes over the line, I think, more than your average player. I don't think many people would really deny that at this point. So, you know, I think that it can be frustrating when things feel inconsistent. But I do think that, you know, I think some of the national people are ridiculous with this. I don't think Tom Wilson should go to jail, for instance. But I do think that, you know, people saying that, like, let's cut this out of the NHL and maybe, like, suspending Wilson will help with that. I think that that can be a legitimate point. And I think it's not worth totally tuning that argument out. It's not, I think you can argue with it, and I think it's important that in this debate that we don't frame everyone who might have a disagreement on this as automatically a bad person. But, you know, I think that it's definitely worth having that debate, and it's something that we all kind of need to think about how we can make the game safer, not just at an NHL level, but what happens in the NHL level reverberates down to lower levels of sports too, because people watch the NHL and what they do on these really matters. So, you know, I think that it's important to kind of put that broader context in it. And I know that was way too long of a thought about Tom Wilson, but I've been thinking about this all afternoon. So there you go. That's my Wilson take.
Yeah. I mean, my thought on Wilson is that he's crossed the line too many times. I think that he is certainly shown kind of a lack of thought. You know, he's not really thinking about what he's doing. He's just reacting. I completely agree that the kick or whatever is not material. I mean, it's not you have to really squint hard to try to see it on the replay and not think that it was just a guy trying to stay up on his skates or you know, keep himself protected. And
I mean, let's say that even he kicked it, right? Let's say that. Does that give Wilson the excuse to punch someone in the back ahead of in a prone position? No, of course it doesn't, right? Like, come on. That's just common sense there, I think.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the one thing, though, about the Wilson hit, which is so – and again, this stuff does happen all the time. I truly believe that this type of stuff happens all the time. The Panarin stuff, it's ridiculous that this is – that part is what people are keying in on, because that is the part that, as you said, Panarin jumped on his back. We see that a million times a season, right? I mean, almost every game there's something like that. And if it wasn't Tom Wilson, no one's talking about it.
Yes.
And that kind of brings me to the second point, which is kind of the white knight syndrome of hockey Twitter fans. And I think this is kind of a thing that I know is irritating a lot of people in the Caps community. It's these people that are parachuting in anytime there's anything to do with Tom Wilson that magically shut up when it's any other player. You know, we talk about the example I used on Twitter was Brad Marchand when he had his cross check to the back of the head of I don't even remember what team it was, but he did that play about 2 days after he went on a long rant about Tom Wilson. I mean, just the double standard among hockey fans is staggering. And obviously, as Capitals fans, we give Tom Wilson more of a pass most of the time. But I mean, I just told all of our listeners and you what I thought about his play and what I thought about kind of how he's been playing the game. I mean, I think he's got to clean it up. I truly believe that he is getting very close to Matt Cook levels of notoriety. I mean, he hasn't really ended careers like Matt Cook had, but he's getting kind of close.
And you feel like he's won. I mean, like, let's say the Oscar Sundquist hit happens now. How long do you think he gets suspended for? Like a half year, a whole year? Like, that would be on the table, and as it should be at this point.
Yeah, I mean, Alan May brought it up right really well, where he said there were plenty of other hits in Wilson's career that he could have got suspended for that he didn't get suspended for, and now the NHL's kind of trying to play catch up, and that's why he got suspended against the Bruins. And here in this instance, I mean, they didn't suspend him, but if it hadn't been Tom Wilson, there would have been no one talking about it. So I mean, those are my thoughts on it. It's certainly stressful as a Capitals fan to feel like it's your guy always in the limelight. But I mean, he's putting himself there. He's not a martyr. I know some of our listeners didn't love Alan May's cancel culture. You know, they don't believe that it's cancer, but I mean, like, guys, the mob is coming for Tom Wilson. Part of it's on him, but I'd hope that people.
I mean, can I talk about the white knight theory real quick? And because I agree with you, it could be frustrating. I do think that it's worth separating it out just a little bit in terms of, I think that it's fair to say that. Okay, like, Wilson's now had this situation. We just talked about how he's been on the border of this for years. Like, if you want to argue, okay, he's been on the border and we want the NHL to change, like, let's do that. And I think there are people that are, I think, pretty consistent in terms of if there's a bad hit, like, let's throw the rule book at him. And I think that's a legit take. And it's one that, frankly, I have sympathy for. Like, I mean, as a law student, actually, one of the things I did in law school was develop, like, a concussion protocol and CTE. That was actually something I worked on. So, you know, I think that I'm willing to have sympathy for that argument. I do get the kind of hypocrisy thing. And, you know, I think it's worth saying, like, all right, like, if you're going to say Wilson shouldn't do this, and he shouldn't, and I think we just say that, like, let's also say, all right, let's, like, make this equal around the NHL and start really knocking these games up. And I think that's going to require, I think, a rethink in terms of how the Department of Player Safety handles these. I think I and a lot of people have said that they need to have more clear and consistent guidelines and have it less be a situation-by-situation thing. I know that can be really difficult because in each hockey hit, there could be a million different pieces of context that it can be hard to have strong guidelines on. But At the same time, I think when you're able to at least kind of have a rough guide in terms of how these things come, then, you know, I think that that can at least help a little bit with some of this. And then it can help you kind of apply the different nuances and context to it. Because I think the way we have it right now is frustrating, because I think that the rules can at times be inconsistently applied based on kind of different doctrines. And that can be frustrating, I think, for both non-Capitals fans, but also Capitals fans too.
Yeah, I mean, hockey is also a bit of a backward sport where the length of the suspension varies based upon injury, which is, yes. The outcome of a hit does not determine its cleanliness.
I mean, if Pavel Buchnevich is out on a stretcher, Wilson's probably gone for the rest of the postseason, right? Well, like, would we say that?
Yeah, I mean, probably. But again, I truly believe it was a scrum, but it's Wilson. He's got to be better. I mean, we heard about Peter Laviolette. Big thing is, you know, all eyes are on Tom. He's got to know it. I mean, Alan May said it. I mean, everyone's saying it. I don't know why he can't get it in his head. I mean, the guy is supposed to be the heir apparent to the captaincy of the team. And frankly, what he's doing sometimes is embarrassing.
Well, I mean, the stuff about, like, I mean, it was funny to do, like, the, oh, look at him in the penalty box and all that. But it was also just really fucking stupid, right? Like, I don't, like, what good did that do anyone? It was just dumb. And I know that we want NHL players to have fun, but I think skating on the great, like, on the, like, you know, and the aftermath and, like, doing all this dumb jock shit about, oh, I just knocked this guy out. Look at how big and tough I am. It's just fucking stupid. And, like, I just have no time or patience for that, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind, like, the Panarin, no one was talking about the Panarin thing.
No.
Until like an hour and a half later, because that's when, like, or whenever it became clear Panarin wasn't coming back, and I mean because
no superstar talked, player yada yeah, yada you know yeah
that wasn't what was being talked about, because it wasn't what was considered dirty. It wasn't until after the fact, and someone went back and looked at the replay 18 times, that it became the thing. But I don't really want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, I'm done with this topic.
My final summary on this is, what Tom Wilson did was bad. He needs to stop doing it. But people need to stop being so hypocritical. And if you're going to come after one of them, you have to go after all of them. People are trying to score social media points by just, like, tweeting about Tom Wilson. I mean, bully for you. You're not wrong. Like, most of these takes are not far off about him. But my, oh my, like.
Go on a walk. It's okay. You don't need to be on Twitter all the time. I promise.
Yeah. I mean, just be consistent. And, like, talking about.
Yeah. Or go on walks. Walks are always nice. I recommend them. Although it was raining all day in Columbus today, so I guess I'm a hypocrite, but there you go.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that wasn't too disjointed for our listeners. It was a bit all over the place for us, but it's a very high energy topic. Let's talk about a guy who came in, another Russian superstar who left the game. That was Ovechkin. Ovechkin left after just one shift in the game against the Rangers. Like, at first, there was, in my mind, my thought was, oh, Ovi's in only because of this Kuznetsov and Samsonov missing a practice or whatever, and we'll get in on that later. But now it looks like Ovechkin was feeling good early in the day. They were going to put him in the lineup, put him on the ice, and then he wasn't feeling well and took him off immediately. But I'm starting to get worried that this is a serious thing for Ovechkin, and that it's going to be a much very unlikely that we see him at 100% this season. We don't know what it is, but I don't like when it gets worse throughout the day. The guy gets on the ice and he has to get off. So what are your thoughts on Ovechkin?
Great. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bunch of different ways that this could have happened. And I think that there's two kind of ways that I choose to think about it. One is, it could have been the case that Peter Laviolette and the coaching staff told Ovechkin, you know, look, like, we'll give this a shot, but we've clinched a playoff spot already. If you feel anything less than 100%, bag it. It's not worth it. Like, that very well could have been what happened. And Laviolette, kind of in his presser afterwards, was kind of noncommittal about that. You know, he said, all right, like, you know, this is precautionary and yada yada, but that's, it's, you know, not ideal. So, but that could have happened. Or this could be, as you said, that this is a guy who is now 35 and who's basically been indestructible throughout his whole career. But I mean, it could nag. Ovechkin's played with nagging injuries before, but it's easier to do that when you're 28 than when you're 35. And that's going to be really difficult. And I think it's going to potentially, if he is playing through something, you would think he's going to do whatever he can to play in the playoffs. But if he's at less than 100% effectiveness, he's already not the fastest player anymore. Like, that could really affect him. It could affect him defensively. It could affect him in a lot of ways. And it could really require the Caps to rethink his role a little bit in a way that might require them to, rejigger the top lines a little bit, potentially, even if it gets that bad. So I don't really know at this point, and it's going to be interesting. I don't think he's going to come back the rest of the year, but I guess we don't really know at this point. Laviolette has said that he's probably not going to play Wednesday, which doesn't surprise anyone here, of course. But I don't know. I think there's just a lot of open question at this point about Ovechkin and kind of whether he's healthy or not. But I'm kind of curious your thoughts on this too, Adam.
I'm just kind of really concerned at this point. I mean, it's not – at first I thought they were holding him out more for precaution. It feels weird to me that they would put him on the ice and then after one shift it's just, okay, no.
Particularly when you only have 11 skaters that night.
Yeah, but that's kind of on the team. I mean, that originally I was pretty – I don't know. Part of me still thinking, like, did they only play him because they decided that Kuznetsov had to learn a lesson? And if that's the case and that injured him more or something like that, that's just beyond
pretty
stupid.
Pretty stupid, yeah.
I mean, just beyond stupid. I mean, you couldn't even talk about how stupid that is without...
And Laviolette's been the coach for a million years. Like, I think I'm willing to say, like, I think the odds that that was the case, I think, are probably pretty low.
I don't know about that. I feel like Laviolette... Okay. More of a one of those coaches that would be pretty gung. Like, if he thought, and they said, remember, Ovechkin felt good in the morning.
He did.
That it was kind of a, he's okay to go. Maybe we would give him another day, but now we got Kuznetsov and Samsonov missed the meeting. Let's cut him out of the lineup. Presses Ovi into action, and then all of a sudden he's not feeling good as the day goes on. But again, this is 100% conjecture, not based at all in reality. And please, nobody go out there and like take it that I've got some source or anything like that. I don't. I'm just spitballing, and because to me it just kind of. It's just the circumstances.
Hey, for once, it's me giving Peter Laviolette the benefit of the doubt on this podcast and not.
Yeah.
You were JP, so hey, there you go. Got to mix it up every once in a while.
Yeah, the circumstances just were all sorts of messed up. I mean, I really hope Ovi comes back soon. I hope it's nothing serious. I hope this isn't like a hip or some other similar related injury where it's going to require surgery off season, something like that.
You hope it's not a groin, right? Or like a hernia or something. Like, I mean, the hernia, of course, is kind of what destroyed Brooks Mike's effective career and a bunch of other people, too, that we could think of. Oh, Carl Alsner, I think another one, if I'm not mistaken. You hope it's not that. Yeah. So,
yeah. It's brutal. I don't know if you remember the story about Carl Alsner after saying he could no longer open a jar.
Yes.
Yeah, so that was... And then Montreal gave him that big contract. So,
Montreal got to do that, and they, I think, are still paying it off, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's talk a little bit about something that is not completely unrelated, but we got some questions from our listeners today.
We did. They delivered.
They did. Almost none of them were really hockey related. So,
to talk about. Wam Tilson, I think. I think we had a couple of those. Maybe I seek those out, but there you go.
Yeah. So if we're going to give our listeners a chance, if you guys want to pop off and don't want to listen to what other fans had to ask, that's cool. If not, we're going to press on here a little bit.
Maybe should we take a break real quick and then we'll go back on the other side?
Fine, Greg.
Yeah, look at me. I still have a little bit of hosting instinct with me. So with that, we're going to take a quick break and stay tuned on the other side for some questions by Caps fans.
All right. Since Greg has places to be, let's go through some of our great questions from our listeners. Eric Fingerhut had my personal favorite. He was asking, what drives my love of Steve Kornacki?
I can't wait to hear this one.
Who Steve Kornacki is. Steve Kornacki is the board guy for he used to be mainly on MSNBC. He was on election night coverage. He's the guy that goes in and he pulls up some little small ass district that no one gives a shit about, and he's able to tell you how many votes usually come in from there, what percentage last time went to the Democrat, what percentage last time went to the Republicans. Splits all this stuff 15 different ways, and he starts.
Did you see the Leslie Jones video where she talked about Steve Kornacki?
Yeah,
that's great. It was A+ material.
My wife gives me a hard time about how much I like Steve Kornacki, because he is like my favorite. I don't know what it is. I've never been this like enjoyed, or I've never had this much joy just watching some nerd up there. I mean, maybe it's. Hear it, like that's kind of how I like to look at stuff, and that's how he looks at it. And
you're living vicariously through him as a fellow nerd, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I just like him. He just seems like a likable guy, and it's the nerdiness. So I'm actually really excited that on Wednesday he's going to be on NBC Sports Washington prior to the game, breaking down the Capitals first round.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's
fuck yeah, that's awesome. All right, I'm stoked about that. Can also, let me say real quick, as a queer Washington Capitals fan and just a queer, it's always cool, like Steve Kornacki openly gay and all that, and actually has written very movingly about that. So it's also cool just to see people like that in media, because it's still, I think obviously gay acceptance has come a long way in recent years, but it's still ways to go. And it's always cool to kind of see a prominent figure out like that too.
And Steve Kornacki is like the only nerd ever to have like a profound impact on sales. I don't know if you remember, Gap said they saw like a 200% bump in
the Kornacki's. Yes. Yes, it's like his button down and his little suit thing. It was adorable. And the clip where he got the math exactly right in the in one of these Pennsylvania districts is really was like a sight to behold. It was incredible. So that's it's cool, like, just to see people like clearly enjoying what they're doing on television, because I will admit I do not watch much cable news. I've actually seen it kind of destroy the brains of people who I love and care about at times. So I think that it's cool to see someone actually enjoy it and just use their like nerdy powers for good on cable news, because it's pretty rare.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's usually not giving you any sort of opinion. It's just kind of these are the numbers. So yeah. Big fan. Extrapolate. He joy to watch. So
good.
Even good for us. I'm glad to see that he's really been able to move over to sports, and he's spending a hell of a lot of time on it. He did football, he did the Kentucky Derby, and now he's doing some more hockey stuff. So pretty cool for him.
Awesome.
Yeah. Let's move on. Next question we got here. I'm not going to ask you about your cat.
Oh, you're not going to ask me about Milo?
No, I mean, you can. All right, fine. Yeah, you can talk about Milo. talk right. About your cat. Go for
All right, I will keep this in 30 seconds, okay? 3, 2, 1. So I have a cat named Milo. I got him in Cincinnati. He is adorable. There's actually a friend of the podcast, Jacob Rash, has actually met him, and he is the biggest, most adorable cat you will ever meet. And I have a million photos of him if you ever want him. He's currently want photos of him. He is currently living with my parents in D.C. There you go. Was that okay?
Yeah, that was great. All right. This is from Tyler Anderson, who we've mentioned on this podcast multiple times. Assuming health, what's our ideal playoff lineup, and what do we think Laviolette ends up doing? Essentially, who do we sit out of Sprong, Raffle, and Hathaway, and do we try to get Trevor Van Riemsdyk in on D? I'll start with this one. I put Sprong in, and I take Raffle out. I don't really understand all the love of Raffle. I think that it, like, I don't see why he's so much better than a oh my god, I'm blanking on his name for some reason. Help me Greg. Who'd we trade with Verona?
The Mantha?
No.
Ponick.
Yes, Ponick's name was just slipping my mind for some reason. Just like he slipped his way out of the lineup. So Sprong is literally scoring almost every single game. Rappel is fine. I don't think he's bad, but I don't know. Alan May said he's really good. I think Raffle's going to be the guy that gets in the lineup because I think that's Laviolette's thing. He likes guys that play that way. For me, it'd be Sprong. I think you have to go with the defenseman that got you there. TVR has looked good, and I'm very happy the Capitals have him as a 7th D. That's where I stand on it. What about you?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, I've been pretty clear that I can see why people like Raffle. Actually, like, I like the way he plays the game, right? He is very kind of determined and all that. But if we saw it on a breakaway yesterday against the Rangers, he just kind of doesn't have the skill set to consistently produce points. And unless I think I tweeted this like a few days ago. If the goal of hockey remains to score more goals than the other team, then I think Daniel Sprong is a better player for that because Sprong can score. And frankly, his possession metrics aren't great. They're not bad, but they're not great. But at a certain point, we say the Caps need scoring depth, and they really do. And I think that he's gonna provide that, needless to say, more than Raffle. And I mean, look, I mean, in terms of Hathaway, I would love to see Laviolette try to experiment on the fourth line. I think it's kind of strange that he has kept that line together through hell or high water, but it's a moot point at this point, frankly. He's not breaking that line up, so, you know, I think that's kind of what is what it is. In terms of TVR, it's tough because he's looked really good with Dylan. And, like, it's funny to think that Dylan might, because I think a lot of people had him pegged as a stay-at-home defenseman. That never really fit with me because Dylan doesn't stand in one place for very long. He moves in a lot of ways. Maybe not in the most effective ways, but he does move a lot. So I think that TVR actually is kind of a good anchor to Dylan. That said, the Caps have won a lot of games with the way they've kind of done it in terms of, putting Schultz in there and all that. And I don't really know how you would put TVR in without either sitting Schultz or Dylan. And there's just been no indication that Laviolette has any interest in doing that. That said, Schultz was out yesterday. He hasn't been 100%, I think, for a while now, and that's pretty clear both in eye test-wise but also analytics-wise where he's looked awful from that standpoint. So if he's not 100%, then I think it's absolutely worth looking at. But if he is, and Tyler's question did assume perfect health, I think it's hard to really say that. You know, ideally, I probably would find a way to see if we could sneak him in, but just realistically, I think it's hard to say that Laviolette wouldn't try to put Schultz in there instead.
Yeah. No, I understand that completely. All right, what else we got on here? Let's talk about... I'm not going to talk about why Wilson was maligned. Isn't the most wrongfully maligned person in hockey?
Can we talk about, like, real quick... It was, like, we posted the story on Jaber's Rink today, and it was, like, I saw, like, at least 10 comments, and needless to say, there's been a lot more. It was, like, all Capitals fans I saw on there were, like, wow, like, I can't believe this poor Tom Wilson got suspended or got fined $5,000. Which I thought was a tad silly, but, you know, is what it is at this point.
Yeah, Wilson is not an unfair victim, guys. I'm sorry. He's not. I mean, we just talked about why. If you don't agree with it, please, like, reach it. We can reach out on Twitter. Give me, like...
Just direct it all to String him. Don't direct it to me. I've had enough.
Yeah, like, if you got real thoughts about it, like, people have real thoughts about it, I'd like to hear them, but, like, if it's, you know, like, the tribal nature of it, I mean, we gotta try to be better than that. Like, it's... Yeah. Alright, that's all I got on that one. alright, well, last thing, then. Do you have any thoughts on, like, there's rumblings that Samsonov and Kuznetsov might be held out again for their Wednesday night game against the Rangers?
Yeah, sure seems like that's possible, doesn't it?
I don't understand why they'd be missing two games for being late to a team meeting. So what are you thinking, Greg? Is there more going on here than meets the eye?
I mean, it's tough. And Laviolette's really cryptic answer, I think it was today, about exactly what happened is not super clear, and it leads you to think that, yeah, like, maybe there is other stuff going on. I mean, he said, I think it was that we need to work on things in the room, which I will fully admit that from Kuznetsov's perspective, I actually don't really see it with his on-ice play. I actually think he's been very good this year. Samsonov, needless to say, has been very inconsistent, and I think that it's on ice play, you could maybe say, okay, something might be a little weird with him. But, I mean, it's just always tough with the stuff in the room because you know that there's context that we don't know about. And I mean, I'll be perfectly candid on this podcast. I don't pull punches. I don't know that much about this. I mean, you look at Kuznetsov, at least, like, this has now been a few times that he's had issues off the ice. I don't want to bring up the cocaine suspension again, but, like, it's just, now it's been a few things. Combined with definitely suspect defensive effort at times in his career. So, you know, it's not like either one of them has earned the benefit of the doubt. So it very well could be something else in the room, but I don't know about it. And I, Adam, I would imagine you probably don't either.
Nope, no clue what's going on. But just doesn't, I don't know.
I mean, I will say, like, if you want to pull this kind of crap right now, if you're Laviolette, like, now is the time to do it, right? The Caps have a, you know, like, a, they're going to make the playoffs. I don't really think it matters too much, frankly, about where they play or who they play. Maybe you say you want the Islanders, okay, and maybe you don't want the Penguins, but I mean, do I really think the difference is all that big between these teams? Not really. So, I think if you're Laviolette, you look at these last four or five games and you're kind of like, all right, I want to get this team thinking and playing the quote unquote right way and the right way in his system. And so maybe now is when you kind of do these and do these kind of things. And for the last couple of games, you try to see if you can have as normal of a lineup as you can going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's as long as you're not putting a unhealthy guy in the lineup because you're, you know, disciplining other players. Let's do what you gotta do. Laviolette, try to get him the win, and
they did. I mean, I will say this, like, they played 10 skaters for a lot of the night last night, and they were at 9 during certain parts of it, right? So, you know, at least 9 forwards, and they were like 80% goal, like, expected goal share against the Rangers, and, like, deserved to win that game. So that was super impressive. Like, we haven't talked much today for good reason about actual Capitals hockey, but that was super impressive. And very quietly, they're at a 51.5% expected goals and are still leading the league in 5-on-5 shooting percentage. So you look at that profile and you say, if they can get even average goaltending, this is a team that could go on a run.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we'll see what they can do. I mean, honestly, it's tough to watch them at sometimes.
I called the second period from yesterday the bad place, but they, again, actually looked, if you look at the underlying numbers, they actually looked pretty good again.
Yeah, they did. I think it's just sometimes it looks like there isn't a lot of creativity on the ice right now without the skilled players in the lineup. I mean, that just is what it is. I mean, winning is the ultimate cure. I mean, just ask any New Jersey Devils fan from when they essentially tried to ruin the sport, and
they succeeded. they didn't just try; they succeeded in ruining the sport for at least like until the lockout of 05. So there you go.
Yeah. All right. This is the last question I'm going to answer. This is from Tyler Anderson again. He asked about how being a dad has like changed kind of hockey for me, or changed kind of my viewing habits, or anything like that.
Let me know about this too. By the way, I'm curious about this one.
So it is different. Mainly, I mean, part of it was also, like, to be frank with all our listeners, like, when the Capitals won the Cup, I mean, we just did a lot less episodes the next season. I think there was just a lot less, that fire kind of goes down because the Capitals won. And I feel like it was coming back up, and then Elizabeth was born, and the fire also kind of like went down a little bit. Like, I still, you know, still watching all the games, but, you know, there's more important things in life, like things that are in my control, and things that, you know, if I do a bad job is going to have a tangible impact on like my daughter for the rest of her life, and like stuff like that. Like, being a parent's stressful. I mean, it takes up a lot of mental and emotional energy that, I probably was spending a lot of that on hockey, especially when I was younger. You know, just watching, getting fired up about. I mean, I still got very fired up today talking about Tom Wilson, but
you did, yeah. I didn't have to prop you at all. You just were ready to go about that one.
Yeah, but I mean it is different. But I mean, I'm still able to watch the game and enjoy the games. You know, like, I don't watch as many like side things as I probably would have used to. Like I used to probably watch a lot more like out of market. Well, I'm not in market anymore, but like non-Capitals games. But it, you know, it's just part of life, I think. And, you know,
yeah. Like, I mean, and it's also, it's again, like this is part time for us, right?
Exactly. You
know?
Yeah.
It's not like,
we're doing this for fun. Yeah. Like we're not doing this. Like we're not like coming home with a bag every night after we do a podcast. Like, I mean, we do this for free. Like we cover our expenses and that's great. I mean, I love coming on and talking about hockey. I mean, that's why I still do this. Like,
yes.
That's, I mean, otherwise I wouldn't do it anymore. I mean, I think we're in year like four, I think, for me of Japers Rink Radio. I mean, I think I'm in year seven maybe of doing podcasts in general. Like it's, I mean, we're at like over a fifth of my.
I think I've been doing this for like 2 years now, or maybe a little. I think it's actually a touch longer because I think I started I kind of bullied my way on, I think, in 2019, and then thankfully you kind of just were like, all right, fine. Hey, if Greg does this, less episodes I have to do. So.
Yeah, I mean that was part of Caps One, and I kind of was like, okay, I'm okay with like kind of handing over the reins a little bit. Yeah, I mean it's been great, and Elizabeth's still kind of too young for me to kind of share hockey with her. Like, well. So like, well, obviously she's only 6 months old. Like she'll watch the game. Like if I get excited when they score, she'll like kind of get excited a little bit when they score and like stuff like that's fantastic. Like she's aware, but you know, it's different. I mean, it's a question like I'll, you know, maybe I'll talk about it again, like near Father's Day or something. And how, if it's changed then, and you know,
yeah.
I mean, my dad and I watch, I mean, that's like 60% of what we talk about is probably hockey, you know? So, I'm sure it will be a great thing, kind of.
I will say it's been interesting, too, because I've been doing this podcast well. I've also started dating someone overseas. And not to bore listeners too much with that, but I think it's also done a number in terms of my perspective on it, too, because I have big things upcoming that I think now announced or not, but I'm going to the Netherlands next year, or actually starting in September. So... there you go. That's that big announcement. Not to preempt anything Adam's been saying, but I think one of the things doing this podcast has been good is that you do it and then you're like, all right, like I got my thoughts out there and I can now just kind of enjoy the sport and participate in the Twitter discourse as I choose. And I think Adam, you're really good and I admire how on Twitter you're kind of able just to like dictate how you want to do things. And I think that that's a healthy thing for a decent segment of the Caps fan base to think about, is just kind of engaging with social media on your own terms and realizing that there are bigger, much more important things out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important. I mean, Tyler, if you're still listening at this point, I mean, you'll do great. Don't worry about it. Won't make you not enjoy hockey anymore. If anything, it'll make it a little easier to bounce back after a stupid loss.
You can always just look at your kid and be like, oh, all right, there's a little bit more important things here than a dumb 4-3 loss in overtime or something.
Yeah, interestingly, that JP and I had talked about, because, you know, when Elizabeth first came out, like, he and I were talking about kind of how that would change stuff, and that's kind of what he told me would happen, and it is what happened. So he was once again proven right in his analysis. So
people love hearing JP. We got to get him on more because it's every episode we have with JP is like our consistently among our most listened to episodes. So I know he'll love to hear that. So there you go.
Well, we're not very far from 200 episodes. And when we get there, I was thinking about going back and looking at kind of, you know, like listens by guest. And like for a while, I went and ran all those stats back. And I was really into it. And like when Isabel came on, it was like, went up like 300% and stuff. And when Alan came
Samantha
on,
Pell consistently is among our most listened to episodes. Although you know who still has our most listened to episode, at least in the modern era since we switched over our podcasting platform, right?
No, actually I don't.
It is Chris Watkins. It was you and the Chris Watkins episode in the middle of 2019, actually, I believe.
It might have been because we probably didn't record another one for like 3 months. So.
That very well could be, but we love having Chris Watkins on here.
Yeah, we do. I do love having Chris on, even when he's talking shit about the Caps and Tom Wilson. So
hey, I will say that's actually, I think, the coolest part of doing this podcast, in my opinion, is it gives us a chance to talk to hockey people that are way smarter than me. I think of both Chris Watkins and Corey Snyder on there too, who we're, I think, going to probably have on soon, hopefully. That's, I think, the coolest part of this podcast is we just get to talk to people that know a lot more and have it actually be their jobs to watch other teams so they can give us the perspective that sometimes our Caps-centric focus can miss.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a blessing. I mean, it is definitely part of the best thing about doing this for fun is getting to talk to people who don't. So.
And hey, it pays my bar bill every month, so there you go.
There you go.
Which is a bit smaller because of the pandemic, but there you go.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap this bad boy up, Greg. I mean, we've been kind of going on here a bit. I'm not even sure how many of our listeners will be left, but
people love this stuff. Actually, in all seriousness, people do. But are you going to ask me to promote my things?
No, because I already think they know your stuff. I mean, you're right, Greg Young underscore JR or something like that. Yes,
Greg Y underscore JR.
I looked it up to confirm. They know
I think
me.
That if you're listening 45 minutes into this podcast where we've just been rambling about our personal lives, you probably follow one of us on Twitter. But if you don't, then mazel. I mean, mazel tov to you. That's quite a commitment there.
Yep. And to answer Kevin's question, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was great. Definitely thought it could have used a bit of a tune-up at the very end. But I do not want to spoil it, so I'll leave it there. So on behalf of Greg and myself, thanks for listening to this episode of Japers Drink Radio. As always, we appreciate you guys taking a lot of time out of your busy day. Always feel free to reach out to us, mainly me on Twitter. Greg thinks he's above you guys now. So,
of course, obviously.
please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. And thanks again, everybody. Have a good day.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.